Hi, I'm Cami So, and you're listening to the On Our Terms podcast, where you overhear a conversation between two dog moms living in Chicago, navigating their personal and professional lives in untraditional ways. On Our Terms is a space to highlight other women's stories that are also living life on their terms and bringing their big ovary energy to their daily lives. The following podcast is a Big Ovary Energy production.
Hey everyone, it's been a minute. It's me, Cami Padilla, just your Latina friend with big ovary energy, girl. And I am still hustling to live life on my terms, and I have a lot to catch you up on. Mm-hmm. But first things first, my co-host, co-founder, and best friend, Mary, has been living life so on her terms and maybe bringing that big ovary energy too hard, that she has so many exciting projects going on, meaning she will be joining us later this season. She's still around, guys, right? She's just not here with us. All right.
She's just not here today.
Presently. But who is this? Oh, who is that? Is that the Midwest princess? Ah, Chapel Roan. JK. It's my dear friend and fellow big ovary energy, Alex Plowman. She is joining me today to break down the DNC. Babe, can you introduce yourself?
What's up? Ooh,
the crowd's going crazy for you.
Honestly, I can't even believe I'm doing a podcast. Only Cami Padilla could ever convince me to do this, but what's up? I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I know Mary. I love Mary. We miss Mary. Go do your thing, girl. But in the meantime, I'm excited to be here, and
we'll see
if you invite me back. But
we will. Mary.
We'll see. I don't know. If we can stay, can we stay focused for the whole episode? We'll have to see.
This is our only second attempt, and it's okay. We're diving into it. So let's set the scene. So before we dive into the DNC, we are in your apartment. We are in Ukrainian Village.
Chicago represent.
Alex used to be my physical neighbor in the same building, but she's moved a few blocks away from me.
I had to get out.
Yeah,
to go.
You're living that Bowie life, that big ovary energy. And we're both
moving on my terms, man.
Yeah. You really did. Holy crap.
Honestly, the move this summer could be a whole episode. Honestly.
That was a different life. You actually have died and
rebirthed. So much better, you guys. If you know, you know. You're the worst landlord. I feel for you. But I haven't seen you since the DNC. You've been so busy. I mean, I think because maybe we're in Westtown, which those of you who don't live in Chicago, it's just a little neighborhood west of the city. And since the DNC was at the United Center, which is literally, I don't know, 7-minute walk from my apartment, it's been on my radar all summer. But I'm not going to lie, the internet popped off last week about the DNC. Everything was about the DNC, even on Monday when I was walking home from Orange Chair, I just took Enzo out real quick, and you would have thought it was freaking game day. Everyone was outside their house just watching. You could feel the energy. You could hear the helicopters. It was crazy.
It was many questions.
It felt like the political Olympics were here in Chicago. And I don't know. I'm a fairly educated person. I'm fairly interested in current events, politics.
You are. You have your opinion.
You know,
Alex has her opinion.
I wouldn't say I'm a news junkie per se, but yeah, I usually have an opinion on most things. And I mean, I had no idea really what entails at the DNC before you mentioned it. I mean, I think I would have caught on by June or July that it was here, but I mean, you were talking about the DNC in April. So, I mean, I gotta know, was it everything you expected? Or first, actually, before you tell me that, what is the DNC and what the hell were you doing there?
So it's funny. When I first met Alex, she knew immediately that I cared a lot about politics and news.
You didn't shame me that I'm a history nerd and buff.
Poor
people.
What did you say? Did you say poor people?
Bore people. I bore people.
You bore
people. Some people don't care. And they're my friends are usually enough with the history.
Oh, no. So wasn't the best in school grade-wise, but I care a lot. I'm passionate. And
girl.
I care a lot about us as a people and how we all treat each other. But organically, the reason why I brought up the DNC to you, it stands for the Democratic National Convention. And and I've been involved in politics.
Organically
through my parents. They've always been involved in politics and are avid voters, and that just came honestly to me. So the DNC, I had the privilege to be a delegate from the state of Indiana.
Not Illinois.
So 4 years ago, my family and I moved to Valparaiso, Indiana. That is my permanent address. And we just immersed ourselves in the community. My dad is the president of Valparaiso University.
And to be honest, a lot of people who work in Chicago live in Indiana.
They do.
Not everyone, like, if you didn't live in Chicago, you might not know that. I worked with so many people who just lived in the suburbs, and they're like, it's a shorter drive.
Well, thank you for saying that, because, of course, there comes some shame with it, because I have an apartment in Chicago, but if you know me, I am with my parents 24/7. If you know me,
I take
being the first daughter of Valparaiso University very seriously. I think everyone knows my name and I know their name.
You love a cause.
So when I got this opportunity to apply to become a delegate, I was like, wait, that's a thing? How can I just apply?
That just anybody can apply.
Okay, yes. And let's bring a lot of, you know, what am I trying to say? Like, attention to it, because it is something someone can just apply for. Usually you become a delegate because you're involved in the state's politics or somehow are affiliated. The reason why I got almost recruited was because the Northwest Indiana Democratic Party was doing a push to diversify the delegation.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, stereotypically, it's been male and white.
Of course.
So they were looking for more Latinas, more youth delegates, which is 36 and below. So I applied, and then Indiana had its state Democratic convention, and they voted for their delegates. And they voted for me, and I got to go to the DNC.
Yes, big over energy. Okay, so for any younger listeners, though, it is approachable if you want to get more involved in your local state politics.
It's approachable.
AKA, I'm from Missouri. We have some big work to do in Missouri that you can apply to be a delegate.
And I have to shout out another delegate that I met, Carla. Hola. She has been so welcoming to me.
We love Carla.
She runs the Indiana Latino Democratic Party organization. Carla, the other day, literally just the other day, Monday, this woman, right after the DNC, she's like, we have a Monday board meeting for the Latino Party.
And hell yeah.
She's trying to bring attention that what's really most important is being a precinct chair. I don't know what that means yet.
But we're going to learn.
We're going to learn, and I'll fill everyone in.
Precinct delegate.
Precinct chair.
And oh, chair.
You have a really big role in helping people vote.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, I got the chance to be an Indiana delegate at large. I was there at the DNC to cast my vote for our nominee for president. And if you want to know
more. When you say our nominee, the Democratic nominee.
Yes, the Democratic nominee. And if you want to learn more about that, follow me on Instagram.
Oh yeah, she's always
Camille Sophia Padilla, and also at On Our Terms _.
We gotta get our plug, man. No, for real though, if you're listening, you should be following us on Instagram.
Because this was a lot more approachable, and the reason why Alex and I are so excited to break down the DNC in a very digestible way is because it did feel like the political Olympics, because
that's amazing.
Historically, this is what it is. It's the Democratic Super Bowl, and then the Republican Super Bowl happened earlier in the summer, but in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But because this sudden dropout of Joe Biden and now Vice President Harris.
So this one's already
popping off, man.
This one's unique because we would have known who was going to be the Democratic nominee usually way before this time around.
So I was a delegate when Biden was still in the race, and I was very conflicted because I don't have to vote the majority way. I could say no. I could say just present. Yeah. I'm just voting. I'm just here.
Yeah. I mean, it is so, it's going to go down in history of, I wonder how many presidents have said, no thanks, I'm not going to rerun and I nominate my vice president. I mean, I wonder if there's ever, you know, if that's ever happened in U.S. history.
Because
that seems so unique. They almost always rerun. And, of course, I don't know how old Biden is, but I know he's older than he should be.
Yeah, this whole process has been super confusing to just everyone because I don't think everyone has a very full understanding of how our politics work. And I fully know that people
were
really
so frustrated because I am interested and it's complicated. I get it's complicated on purpose, but...
But let's start off with sharing what the DNC is because this, I hope, going forward, maybe Alex, you can try to be a delegate the next presidential race because...
Oh, stop. Now you're really trying to pull me into your life. First the podcast, now a delegate.
I feel like everyone who comes into my life, I'm like, you're either in or you're out.
Do you want to be on the dance team or not?
Inside joke, sorry. Alex always characterizes ways of how to describe something through high and low.
I do. If you know me, you know I send usually my family and my best friends a Sunday text of what was your high and low of the week. It's our weekly little tradition. And I think it's just a great way to capture an event or an experience without really being there in someone else's point of view. So tell me, at the DNC, what was your high and what was your low?
My high was just the overall energy and it helped me.
So it really did feel like the Super Bowl.
Totally. Like I'm a little sick. Olympics. I'm sick. I'm worn down. I'm going to Spain soon, so I must survive. So it was like the Olympics. And we just did have, that's why I'm saying Olympics. Oh my
summer
God,
Olympics,
we just had
yes.
the Olympics.
I know, I was like, but we've lived like 17 lifetimes since then.
Yeah, this summer's been like insane. So the DNC provided me with such big ovary energy and reminded that my hustle to consistently work towards living life on my terms is so important and needed for our future, right? I'm bringing a slice of me into how Indiana wants to represent its Democratic Party and the amount of people that I met, the female energy,
really?
The big ovary energy.
You could feel the big ovary energy at the DNC.
I got to tell you about this one woman that almost like my, I actually, you remember the other day?
Out.
No, yeah, also, but do you remember the other day when you were telling me the story and then my knees actually gave out?
That in real yes, life? Yes.
It was like that. So, but there was a low. And
yes.
That's okay.
So your high was just the energy that the DNC provided and just like gave you that boop of you are living life on your terms and you bring big over energy that no matter what project you're working on and to just keep that attitude.
I was the number one delegate hype woman.
Oh, I can totally see it.
And
so, like I said, you love a cause.
Do and give me a color scheme, give me days that I can outfit plan.
Fit of the day, OT.
Yeah, everyone's feedback to me was like, your energy, I'm like, no shit. So,
what was the low?
There was a low, and this is before I get into a quite complex one,
the
most annoying low, Alex Zendra, was the food.
Oh,
specifically at the United
because it was like. How many days? 4 days.
4 days.
Morning to night. And like the speeches were late.
No. And you have people there from morning to
evening. Can you
bring
snacks?
Yeah, you can't bring snacks.
Oh, thank God.
I did. But I'm like, I wanted to bring whole meals and some people had problems. I never tried. But it was just your chicken tender baskets, your hot dog, that amount of hot dogs that were fed to everyone.
They weren't even Chicago dogs.
There is literally a woman I was just listening to on the radio, and she's like, I have acid reflux so hard because of all the hot dogs I ate.
Oh, my. No. On your feet all day.
So
I mean, I love a hot dog every now and then, but...
It's disappointing because we're in Chicago. We have so many small business members.
Yes.
I know it probably
give the biz to the people.
Who knows what kind of contract the United Center has, but shout out to all the workers who were there because they were like, what is this?
Were they having so much fun?
No, they were stressed out as hell. Because like they were also very unprepared for the amount of
hype. I feel like the number was like unprecedented.
Yeah.
And it felt unprecedented.
Also was weird too, we are also so hyped, but we are also on an emotional roller coaster. It's been a bunch of highs and lows for this goddamn country.
Right.
And one thing about delegates, every state has a certain amount of delegates, and out of all the total delegates, there was a chunk of delegates that voted present, and a majority of those, I'm assuming, were ones who are wanting to bring attention to the Palestine conflict and the war. And they also were not awarded a time to speak on the big stage at the DNC. And that made public news, and that was a big deal. And that made me sad because, I mean, I understand from my political past the strategy and the mindset that people probably had of like, no, we're scared of what that would bring us. But what I'm scared is a lot of these voters will then just go to the ballot box and not vote for a president. And that could hurt Kamala. That could hurt Kamala. And so that's what I'm worried about.
So you would say that...
But that's their right.
Right. So like usually in the past, if someone didn't vote for Kamala, they might have more of a speaking opportunity to explain why they didn't. And this one was for the Palestine and Israel conflict that's current and obviously on the news every day.
It was just too risky heavy for the DNC.
So you're saying the overall probably party strategy was to not bring a lot of light to it. But that's hard because how can you not bring light to it when there's thousands of people being killed and it's on the news every single day?
Well, coming from a background in politics, I also give kudos to them trying to control the narrative, like Taylor Swift's tree. Because Kamala is interrupting protesters at her.
Oh my God, should I tell them the protesting story I had?
Yes, please.
Oh my gosh, I was riding my bike back from Orange Theory. And since I just moved, I didn't know exactly how I was going to get back from my workout class. And so I'm like riding my bike along, and I am no expert in the Chicago streets. It's the wild, wild west riding your bike. If you know, you know. And so I'm taking the side streets, bopping around, and then I'm like, oh, what's all these police officers doing? Oh, what are all these people on bikes doing? And I had to ride my bike and the protest for a little bit. So I guess you could say that was my first attendees of a protest. And I just don't know.
I'm excited for you.
Where my exact stance is, but I was like, this is exciting. It was extremely peaceful. We are at the very bottom or back end of it. People walking to United Center, but it was literally for like, 30 seconds on my way home, but it's just
whatever.
So
I think everyone should experience that.
Just getting home from Orange Theory, I survived.
I think that's amazing that you were just like, let me take my bike around. Wow, look at this. I'm living in the city.
Right. Okay, but seriously, I have like a zillion questions. One being, I'm a little embarrassed to admit, I didn't know like the DNC is what? 5 days of cultural moment, performances, celebrities, famous past politicians. I had no idea. DNC sounds like 1 day convention. You do a vote and everyone goes home. I naively was like even turned off sometimes when you were explaining it to me. I'm like, what? Happy hours? Huh? I don't really get it.
Yeah.
So like break it down for us newbies, I guess. I don't know, just no, the learning DNC about DNC
lit.
Or first time listening to the DNC.
The DNC
Why was
lit.
Lil Jon there?
The DNC was lit. Lil Jon was there for so many reasons because he's trying to get
so
out,
many reasons.
To get
is
out
he
the,
a politician?
He's a rapper. Okay, so Lil Jon, Lil J-O-N, is from Atlanta, Georgia, and he's been getting out the vote, which I'm very blessed for all of his work. But specifically on day two, which was my favorite day, which I believe is the most important day after Kamala does her thing, is roll call day. So
roll call.
The DNC is normally boring. Now, oddly enough, 4 years ago, if you probably for sure did not watch, but the DNC was all virtual.
Definitely probably
you were
just
like
read
watching a family Zoom of things in and out.
Oh my God.
It was better
on
than
Zoom.
No. It
was
better.
It really on Zoom?
No. I'm just like saying it was complicated. It wasn't the sexiest thing, but it was pretty good.
It was COVID.
So also remember, that's why people are freaking out and like taking off their clothes to bleed blue, red, white, and blue.
They've been cooped up at home.
And Lil Jon was so excited.
Yes.
Two things that you would geek out about because you love music. So DJ Cassidy is a DJ that got asked by the DNC to DJ the roll call. So he created a playlist for each state to announce how many delegates they're putting forth towards Kamala. And each state had a song assigned to it that was like on theme. So
wait, what was Missouri?
Missouri was Chapel Road.
Stop it.
Lil Jon.
We saw Chapel Road a lot.
We were a part of history.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Lil Jon was the live performer during Georgia's roll call.
What? Did everyone know?
Everyone freaked
live
out.
Live performers?
No, not everyone had live performers. So Indiana had a Michael Jackson song.
Of course.
And then we had Sean Astin, the actor who is known for Rudy, a player at Notre Dame's and on the football team. It's a very, it's an Irish
very
Catholic
Indiana.
Thing. It's so Indiana. But I'm like, yo, he's Lord of the Rings. He was like our token celebrity.
Okay.
Sean Astin, bro.
You know, whatever. I bet you were still hyping it up. You
so that was cool. Pink was there.
So not every state has a crazy performer like Lil Jon. Was Pink representing a state?
No.
She was just a performer.
Pink was just a performer. She sang beautifully, and her daughter joined her.
Aww.
The most exciting performer for me was the Dixie Chicks. They did a cappella.
Did they sing?
No,
That is the
not.
National anthem. No. It is the national anthem. It's my national anthem.
I'm going to admit this. When on my walk to the United Center,
yeah,
I put it on autoplay and I just listened to
it's
that
so
the whole
emo.
Time.
I'm so into
I'm
it though.
I'm never ready to make it.
Oh, the song gets me every time.
It's my
night.
It's
like
anthem.
Embarrassing to
it's a big overing
like,
anthem.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've definitely put my displaced anger on that song for sure. For sure, you were in deep.
I was in deep, and then what was really sad was like I think a lot of people were actually convinced that Taylor Swift or Beyonce were going to perform after Kamala. Like I actually
that would have been
I actually 80% believed it.
No.
Leslie,
Taylor Swift. We're not
I was next
see her.
To four women, and we were all like, Beyonce is coming out 100%.
Oh my gosh, no, Taylor Swift. She
how embarrassing.
We won't see her. Beyonce. She's busy, man. She's booked and busy.
She gave her
She
freedom.
Already gave
she
the
gave
song.
Her
what else do we need from her? Who are you the most excited to see? Or who was your favorite person you saw?
Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, I think that says our both of our ages.
As a Latina, Mexican descent, and I know they're called the... Oh, shit. We've been saying
Dixie Chicks.
They're the Chicks.
Oh, my gosh, they are the Chicks.
Hot controversial issue. Like, I get it, but...
That's a whole other episode that we could break down Dixie Chicks.
I would love
that. Okay, no, for real. Next question is a little bit more serious, but it's been on my mind. I want to know, what was that experience like in real time between Tim Walz and his son, Gus? What was that like actually at the DNC, and what was that energy? And was the reaction as significant there as it was for everybody at home or online the next day?
That's a great question.
Because I feel like that was such a powerful moment and a photo that was really worth 1,000 words.
Ooh, oh my gosh. It was worth 1,000 words because I got the chills of 1,000 words the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, where I was sitting with the Indiana delegation, we were like directly all across the stadium from Tim Walz speaking. And so I can't see Gus. So where he's standing front row, the whole explosion of press on Gus's reaction was more so the day of after, or if you were watching at home live.
So it was more significant, I would say, online versus being there in real time, which is honestly kind of a relief because at the end of the day, he is a nominee's kid. And like, you know, that would be so overwhelming to be put on, you know, every screen of the Megatron at the United Center when you're just having like such an intimate moment. But it was also really amazing that someone was able to capture that moment because I feel like so many people at home resonated in that photo in some way. And I know I've caught myself in conversations about this photo with my mom, with my girlfriends, with people I talked to at the dog park. And people had different...
Wait, Gus shook the world.
Dog park is where the real gossip is at.
Yeah,
everyone,
he's being brought up at the dog park.
It's wild. It's wild what you learn at the dog park and the fights. It's amazing, honestly.
And then you see Gus, a boy, I believe he's still a teenager, so 17, a young man, an adult, is reacting in a way that you want to react because of how inspiring Tim is. And so imagine,
The reason why I loved it, you could just feel
the pride that they had for each other. Correct. Love and respect.
And that is why that was probably my most favorite social media content. Mm-hmm. Because it's teaching people so many things.
Mm-hmm. And it's a segue to a lot of conversations.
So I didn't know when I first posted something on social media about it, what I expressed first and foremost was the vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I related to Gus because my dad being president of a university, you kind of take that on as your identity and you live, breathe, you know, gold and brown and the Valpo lifestyle.
You are the biggest fan of Valpo. And you're so proud of your family and your school. So I lean in. Totally get that. As I say, you love a cause. You love a team. You're the best cheerleader.
And we don't know the Waltzes mm-hmm. as much as we know mm-hmm. even Kamala. So I was like, yeah, damn, this is their like a son.
Family.
No, or, his know. Son is crying. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about the neurodivergent, about the anxiety, about the ADD.
I think it's interesting, this word neurodivergent.
And then it made me a little, first we've talked about neurodivergent. We're pro that word.
Yeah, I think it, personally, when I hear that word, I think it's just like a broader scale or spectrum. It's more of like a privacy of like, it could be a lot of different things, but we don't need to share with everyone exactly what it is. I don't know. I feel like it's a good guard, a little bit of a safety net. Neurodivergent could mean a lot of different things, and that is enough information you need to know and accept that.
Right. But we were having a conversation off mic, and it was that I wonder how accepting people would have been if that, he mm-hmm. has ADD.
I know.
He has.
Because when I read that, I'm like, interesting fact that they add that. Okay. And then it took me a moment to realize that maybe that fact was included because some people might pass judgment or feel a way about his emotional expression that it was anything but expected. It's your dad being a nominee for vice president. That's an incredible moment in your life, and you have all these cameras
and also come from a culture that less is more.
How could you not have a reaction to? So I don't know, the word neurodivergent, just a lot of people, including myself, found it interesting. And I think this might be like my naiveness in me, but I would hope that we didn't need that detail included in the media for everyone to have a positive reaction.
Okay, what's your last question? And then we gotta let these big over energy women go slay.
We have Labor Day weekend plans. I gotta go.
Okay, everyone's talking about Labor Day and I'm not even thinking about that. Yeah, when is that?
Not all of us get to go to Spain, you know. Whatever. All right, so out of everyone you met, who would you say gave you the biggest ovary energy?
I have three things I'm going to break down.
Three. The first
one is big shout out to the Indiana delegation.
Shout out.
Specifically, how many women were Ooh, part of the delegation.
That's dope.
There were so many different facets of people, and that was just astounding. And then the Democratic chair of North mm-hmm. Carolina. So every state has, this is the second one.
Okay, number two.
Every state has a Democratic chair, and they get nominated, elected, and their Democratic chair was that woman that I was mentioning has the most big over energy, like that my jaw like fell to the floor. Mm-hmm. So on roll call, she was the one who roll called North Carolina in, and her energy was insane. And so the way she came on as a white woman, she's 26, but she brought this culture.
26.
She brought That's this amazing. Culture, and behind her were her black allies, yeah. like a part of the Democratic Party, and it was just, she knew what she needed to represent.
I can feel the big ovary energy.
And it was just powerful, because mm-hmm. North Carolina is a
It's a complicated state. The South is complex. So it's complicated.
Shout out to her. And then shout out to...
That is pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Her name's Anderson Clayton.
Anderson Clayton.
Isn't that cool?
Of course. Isn't she cool? She has a last name as a first name. Most Southern thing you could say. Third biggest ovary energy award goes to...
I'm going to do it to this woman I sat next to on the last day that Kamala... When she accepted the nomination on Thursday... I got to sit next to the New Mexico delegation, and I
New
sat.
Mexico.
Yeah, oh my God. And I also was dressed very, like, ranchera vibes.
Yes,
so
that was the day
vibes.
With the cowgirl boots yeah, and the white.
I actually fit in. I really did. So I sat next to this 28-year-old female representative
so cool.
from New Mexico, Christina Barron.
Love that.
And it was all on Thursday, remember? We're wearing all white mm-hmm. because the Women Caucus end. Wanted women to wear white for women.
Mm-hmm.
So she wore a white pantsuit.
Of course.
It was insane. Too. And like had like the New Mexico turquoise.
Oh, so pretty. So pretty.
Holy crap. And Missouri. She was my biggest ovary energy. It inspired me to be like, how am I going to lean into this Indiana delegation even more?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do have such a significant past and knowledge in politics that I can be a lot more helpful in Indiana than
mm-hmm.
Illinois.
Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting way to look at it too.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm someone from Missouri where women's rights are actively being taken away, and it's tough to see. And it's
what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do about it?
Dude, if I keep hanging out with you, you're gonna put my ass to work. I guess I'm gonna have some action items. I don't know. Maybe if you invite me back on this podcast, I'll have an update for you. But
yeah,
I mean, it's gonna be an interesting election no matter what. It's super exciting. It almost makes me emotional that, like, you know, I have a niece, it's gonna be her first time voting for president.
Wow, that's so special.
And it's, I hope it's just always to be expected that there's gonna be a female on the ballot. And I don't know, I'm optimistic.
So let's leave it there, baby. You're optimistic. So just want to finish and put a beautiful bow on top of this whole reason of why we're meeting today and chatting about this is DNC inspired us starting season two of On Our Terms.
On Our Terms.
We have met so many women that are living life on their own terms, who have big ovary energy.
Girls who fan our flame.
And we want to talk about those women, and we want to showcase those stories with y'all. So
thanks for listening to today's episode on Our Terms podcast. This episode is a big ovary energy production. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And as always, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at @OnOurTerms_. This podcast is supported by Vodium, your very own virtual podium. Are you someone who is constantly talking on video? Whether you're presenting, interviewing, or selling, Vodium is the desktop teleprompter you need to nail every point and obviously look good while doing it. Visit Vodium.com and try our app for free today. You can cancel at any time. The Vodium is now yours.